six, seven, eight. I would like to demonstrate to Christians that Jesus has warned us not to listen to Paul. And this is based on several distinct prophetic statements by Jesus. First, Jesus' final warning to the 11 surviving apostles was not to believe someone who comes in my name saying, I am Jesus. This is in Matthew 24, 4-5. Jesus said, if someone says, I am in a desert place, in a wilderness, do not believe them. And then Jesus explains, this is because when he actually will return, every eye on earth will see him. This is Matthew 24, 26. So when you put these two verses from Matthew 24 together, Jesus warned he will not be seen in a private vision on earth. Jesus in Luke 21, 8 says, in the same circumstances, do not listen to them who claim that that happened and they spoke or communicated with Jesus. Now, Paul's vision experience on the road to Damascus matches this warning by Jesus 100%. See Acts 9, verse 37. Next, I want to draw your attention to Matthew 5, 19. Now, Jesus in this verse contrasts two different individuals. One who teaches you not to follow the law, and one who teaches you to follow the law. As to the latter, Jesus says, whoever shall do and teach the least commands of the law shall be called great in the kingdom. So obviously, in Matthew 5:19, Jesus is extolling those who tell us to follow the commands of the law. At the same time, Jesus then says, those who tell you not to follow the law will be called by those who are in the kingdom of heaven the least man. Elikthos Anthropos. Why is that in a prophecy about Paul? Paul's name is a short form of the Latin name Pauxilus. In Latin, Pauxilus means least. Thus in Matthew 5:19, when Jesus says those in the kingdom will call the ones teaching you not to follow the law the least, it's obvious who Jesus meant. That's just an introduction. The topic of my talk will be, did Jesus warn us about Paul? And I will demonstrate further. Those two examples are just a tip of an iceberg. By way of introduction, we need to be reminded that Jesus taught that the apostolos is not more important than the one who sent him. That's in John 13:16. John the Baptist likewise knew he must decrease so that Jesus' message would increase. That's in John 3, verses 30 and 31. Thus, Jesus must have no rivals. Jesus' authority over Paul is key, as the two do not share the same gospel of salvation. Jesus preached we can go to heaven maimed by cutting off body parts and snaring us in sin, that is, by a stern repentance, or we can go to hell whole, that is, by failing to successfully repent. See Mark 9, verses 42 to 47. In Luke 15, verses 17 to 24, Jesus teaches the prodigal who repents, turns from sin, and heads home to the Father, that he is the one who is justified, while the unrepentant Pharisee, whom Jesus identified as disregarding the weightier matters of the law, that's in Matthew 23, verse 23, goes home unjustified. Paul teaches instead in Romans 4, verses 3 to 5, that Abraham was justified by faith alone while he was yet ungodly, and thus without repentance from sin. At least this is what we hear in endless sermons on what faith alone means. Thus we have two gospels in the same book. Whom do we follow? Well, we need to study what Paul's claim to authority is. After the ascension of Jesus, the 12 apostles were the original 11, less Judas, until the 11 added Matthias to replace Judas in Acts chapter 1. In none of the three vision accounts of Paul recounted in Acts does Jesus ever point Paul an apostle. Instead, the figure who said to Paul, while Paul was still a non-believer, that I am Jesus, on that lonely desert road to Damascus, merely told Paul that Paul would be a martus. This Greek word means witness, and not apostle. This is Acts 26, verse 16. Hence, Paul knew his claim to authority as apostle had to rest upon something other than the words of Jesus. What did Paul cite as proof of his own authority as an apostle among Christians? Paul claimed the proof of his authority was that he had signs and wonders. See 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, and Romans 15, verse 19. But Jesus was concerned precisely about the signs and wonders prophets misleading Christians. See Matthew 7, verses 15 to 23, especially verse 22. See also Matthew 24, verses 11 and 24. Jesus also warns of the false prophets in Mark 13, verse 22. They shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if possible, even the elect. The Greek roots were semion and teraton, the same words as what Paul claimed proved his validity. Are such signs and wonders true proof? In Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus teaches there are those who prophesy by the name of Jesus and who can cast out demons by the name of Jesus, but whom Jesus will say, I never knew you. Why? Because they are workers of anomia, Jesus explains. This word anomia is a Greek word that can either mean lawlessness or negation of the Mosaic law. Paul certainly taught the law was abrogated. See Romans 7, verses 1 to 9. Jesus also warned there's coming prophets who will be ravening wolves in sheep's clothing. See Matthew 7, verse 15. Jesus said we will know them by their fruit. What type? Traits that match prophecy about ravening wolves, of course. First, Jacob prophesies of a ravening wolf from the tribe of Benjamin, who will kill in the morning. Remember Paul killed Christians at first? That's in Acts 7, verses 58, 8, verses 1 to 3, and Acts 9, verse 1. But in the evening, this Benjamite wolf will divide the spoil. That's in Genesis 49, verse 27. In Galatians 2:9, Paul claimed a right to divide the mission field so that he exclusively would preach to Gentiles, and the 12 supposedly would only preach to Jews. And, of course, Paul was a Benjamite. See Romans 11:1 and Philippians 3:5. Second, Ezekiel 22:27 spoke of the princes who are wolves ravening the prey, under whose administration they have made no distinction between the holy and the common, neither have they caused men to discern between the unclean and the clean, and they have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. Ezekiel 22, verse 26. And what's their support for doing so? God says they rely on false visions to justify such apostasy. This is Ezekiel, verse 28 of chapter 22. Ezekiel's prophecy likewise fits Paul. Paul said the law given Moses by God is entirely abrogated. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, Galatians 5, verse 1, Romans 10, 4, and many other verses. Also, Paul clearly says that we are free to ignore the Saturday Sabbath, or any Sabbath principle. That's in Romans 14, 5, Colossians 2, verses 14 to 16. And, of course, Paul's view that we are free to eat any food we like, including meat sacrificed to idols, is likewise clear. See 1 Timothy 4, 4, where he says all food is clean, Romans 4, 2, Romans 14, verse 21, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4 to 13, and 1 Corinthians 10, verses 19 to 29. Jesus, by contrast, made it clear three times that eating meat sacrificed to idols was wrong. Revelations 2, verse 6, 14, and 20. Hence, Paul's fruits match that he was the Benjamite ravening wolf in sheep's clothing, that is appearing to be a Christian when he truly was not. What's the conclusion of this? Paul was misled by the blinding light on the road to Damascus. Jesus was never going to appear that way again. That figure duped Paul, who then taught a gospel at odds with Jesus, seducing many from Christ. The message, then, is to obey Jesus' words only.